At 8:17, I put scalpel to skin, making a neat incision across Olivia Lai's chest through skin and fat to muscle and bone. Meeting Toby in the quiet room had left me distracted and short of time, and the anaesthetist wasn't in the mood. While I had scoured the file a few minutes earlier, searching for the bone scan result, he said, "Can we get on with it? What are you doing over there anyway, painting your nails?" My cheeks burnt. I shut the file. As we gowned and gloved, I asked Toby if he'd checked the bone scan. "Benson saw a pre-op," he replied. "It's all good." It wasn't an answer, but it was all I was going to get, so I began, Toby holding the retractor so I could dissect away the left breast. "The big cheese today," he said. "How does it feel, Miss DiPieta?" I ignored the teasing in his voice and told him I could get used to it. "You're going to have to fight me for it, you know that." In gown and gloves and mask and head covering, all I saw were his eyes taunting me, and I returned the look with interest. "Can't wait." "Nah, you're a shoe-in, Carla," he said. "One of the best surgeons I've seen." My cheeks flushed, remembering what he'd seen. "Want some suction, Carla?" the scrub nurse asked. I startled and looked down. My incision was slowly filling with blood. Toby applied the suction catheter. "She's a bit of a bleeder, young Olivia." "Too young to have breast cancer," the nurse said. "What is she, 35? "Same age as me." I asked for suction, my voice sharp. I had no time or space to think about how young Olivia was. Flecks of gritty white tissue dotted the chest wall. While we operated, someone put on classical music, and Toby chatted with the nurse about her daughter in year 12 and her son with the horse obsession. I had no idea how he remembered that stuff, but now was not the time. I blocked out the noise and stared at the white flecks. Why were we operating on a patient with disseminated cancer? Shouldn't she be having chemo and getting her affairs in order? I made a separate incision in the axilla and found two matted and calcified lymph nodes. Cancer. Dissecting around the primary, I searched for clear margins, but tumour extended as far as I could see, and blood filled the new incision. An alarm began, its slow, dull thud, and the anaesthetist and his tech spoke in low voices. The anaesthetist appeared over the drape. "Her CO2 is low and she's bloody hard to oxygenate. I'm getting a gas. I think we might have hit something." Toby drew back flaps of tissue so I could see, but blood oozed into the space. "Have you noticed the mets in her chest wall, or were you too busy chatting?" My voice was tight and I tasted acid in my mouth. In the background, the music swelled and I recognised it. Verdi's Majestic Agnus Dei, Prof's favourite. Prof? He could be here any minute. I had to get control of this before he arrived. I remembered my elation at being asked to stand in. I was so sure this was his way of telling me I was next in line. This train wreck of a mastectomy could jeopardise my job, even my career. I caught myself. Jesus, something bad was going on with this patient. I was thinking about my job. "Sats are dropping," the anaesthetist said, "and she's hypotensive. I need adrenaline. Can we get nitric in here? Set up for an art line." The pool of blood grew in front of me. "I need suction. Diathermy," Toby said. "Give me two packs." While I snapped orders, Toby cauterised a few blood vessels with diathermy, leaving a lingering smell of burning flesh. My rising pulse pounded my head, jumbling my thoughts. Could Liv have a clotting disease? Why was she so unstable? And the most burning question, what the hell do I do now? Blood. It made its own stream in the wound now. We shoved in packs that filled in minutes like sponges. "Would you like Prof paged?" the nurse asked quietly. I shook my head. There had to be a reason for all this. I thought back to Maggie saying the nurse wanted Liv reviewed pre-op. "Toby, why did they want her seen this morning?" He shrugged. "Sore leg or something?" Sore leg in a patient with breast cancer. I racked my brain, remembering an oncology presentation on complications in metastatic cancer. Perverse processes like disseminated intravascular coagulation when the cancer caused clots and those clots consumed and depleted the body's platelets and clotting factors, meaning that a patient who clotted too much was also prone to bleeding. "Could have been a DVT," I said. "She could have DIC." Toby frowned. She didn't sound that sick. "Her platelets were low normal," the anaesthetist said. "It's possible. Get me the ultrasound. I can scan for a PE and set up some heparin." "But she's bleeding everywhere," I said, startled. "Heparin will make that worse." He shook his head. "No good choices here, right? If it is DIC, she's clotting off her lungs as we speak, same time as bleeding out on the table. You're going to need to close her up. And who's the consultant on for this list? We need them here." "Let me get control of the bleeding, then we'll call Prof." "No, we need him now." Fuck. The incision filled with blood again. I called for more suction and asked for someone to get Prof on the phone. "And turn off that music. Suction. I can't see." My voice sounded like it belonged to someone else. "More traction. More suction." Beep, beep, beep. The heart rate monitor sounded fast and insistent. "More traction. I can't see." The white packs in the wound turned crimson. A second alarm began, a grating drone. Toby fumbled the retractor and it clanged on the floor. The heart rate alarm grew faster, louder. This could not be happening. The alarm squealed its protest. Not to a patient so young. The monitors whined and moaned, who should never have had surgery. The heart rate alarm ceased its fast, angry chime. For a moment, there was a pause, like the monitor was drawing breath, and then the thready knell of a perilously slow heart rate rang out across the theatre.